Good morning, everyone. All right, so some of you know me, some of you have no clue. Some of you have been to my workshop, some of you have been to my Light Seekers. And I would like to preface my message so that those of you who don't know me aren't alarmed. Okay, I am easily moved. I mean, it doesn't take anything. You know, a cute puppy, a cute kitten, anything. Okay, so I will be crying throughout my message. Just ignore it. It's not anything that's going on in my life. There's nothing dramatic happening. Yeah, that's just me. So having said that, all right, again, good morning. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, isn't it? We have already had several snows where I live, and they have stayed on the ground for 3 or 4 days. In fact, the snow that we had this Thursday is still on the ground at my house today, this morning. This past Thursday, my small town had a Christmas tree lighting in the city park. It had snowed all morning, so the scene was perfect. At my library, I'm now in position as assistant director to make more decisions, so I decided to challenge the staff to decorate the library. We now have green garland with gold bows and ornaments on our staircase banister and two columns in the main area of the library, as well as green garland and a big red bow around our historic lamppost outside the front of the entrance. One very talented woman decorated a wreath for us to hang behind the main desk. And we've gotten a lot of compliments about the fact that we look very festive for Christmas. Now, growing up, Advent was a time of anticipation and preparation. I had been given an oversized copy of 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, which had soft, fuzzy material covering Santa's suit. I have no clue what it was, but it felt really good. Okay, it's kind of like a flannel weird thing. I would read and reread it so that I could memorize it. That was just something I wanted to do, was memorize that poem. Every Saturday evening, I helped my mother as she baked several different types of cookies ahead of time and stored them in large metal tins. We were allowed to cut out the shapes of bells, reindeer, stars, Santa, you might remember those, you probably all had the same cookie cutters, and decorate them with sprinkles. As Advent went on, my father would spend his weekends putting up the lights on the porch and cleaning the house. The thing I recall most is helping him polish the chrome legs on the kitchen table and chairs. Again, we're talking 1950s here, so there was a lot of chrome on the cars and everywhere else. So, for those of you that are younger, you missed that. But anyway, to make it look good, took some effort. Our traditional Estonian meal was Christmas sausages, and this was a delicate operation. The casings and blood had been ordered in advance from the local butcher. Separating the casings was my father's job. He was a very meticulous, patient man, and he explained that great care had to be taken in order not to tear them or the stuffing would ooze out. Once the sausage was stuffed, which took four hands, my mother and father working together, he holding the casing onto a metal funnel and she spooning the mixture into it and gently tapping it down with a wooden instrument my father had carved just for that purpose, I got to take one of the strings my father had pre-cut and laid out on the table and carefully tie the end of the casing, after which my father tied both ends together to make a circle. Then each sausage was put in our biggest pot to boil. My father would strategically prick each one with a toothpick so that they would not explode in the water. And after that, they were frozen until it was time to have them for Christmas, and also for New Year's, and also for Epiphany. So we made enough for the three meals. Now, shopping in the nearest town was always nice, since the small downtown had loudspeakers on the corners to broadcast Christmas carols. WQXR, a classical radio station out of New York City, played Christmas carols, introducing us to some lovely international carols. I love singing the Christmas carols because I love that they told a story. In traditional carols, there are Advent carols, such as we just sang, O Come, Emmanuel. In secular songs, we have Advent ones as well. From the Broadway show MAME, we have We Need a Little Christmas. Taken out of context, it seems to be a jaunty tune about getting ready for the holiday. However, in the context of the story, Auntie Mame is a wealthy woman who just lost her fortune in the October 24th to 29th stock market crash in 1929. She sings the song, "Haul out the holly, put up the tree before my spirit falls again. It's time we hung some tinsel on the evergreen bough, for I've grown a little leaner, grown a little colder, grown a little sadder, grown a little older." Her nephew reminds her that Thanksgiving is still a week away, so it's November 21st, 3 weeks after she lost her fortune. She sings, "Yes, we need a little Christmas right this very minute." Perhaps due to the financial upheaval, she feels in need of the peace of Christmas. Another carol, which is very poignant when taken in context, is "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day," which is a poem by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. In 1861, his wife Fanny died from burns suffered in a tragic accident. Longfellow himself had severe burns to the face, arms, and hands as he tried to smother the flames around Fanny. In 1863, he got word that his eldest son, a lieutenant in the Union Army of the Potomac, had been severely wounded and had a spinal injury in battle. Yet after these years of mourning and grief, in 1864, on Christmas Day, he wrote the poem "Christmas Bells." The original poem had seven stanzas, 4 and 5 explicitly describing the war. So in number 6, he writes, "And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." Yet the final stanza declares, "Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men." In the first example, inner peace is lacking. In the second, peace as the opposite of armed conflict is lacking. In each case, the speaker embraces the first quality of Advent, which is hope or faith. So how do we achieve peace? Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 tells us, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." And verse 6 foretells Jesus coming. "His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." The secret is found in yet another Advent carol, "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel." Emmanuel is a Hebrew word meaning God with us. Charles Fillmore, in Revealing Word, defines it, "the consciousness that God is with us and we are one with him." Eric Butterworth's remarks on Christmas remind us that everything, health, abundance, love, etc., is already within us. He quotes Colossians 1:27, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." I grew up learning metaphysics, and the way we phrased it at my house was my Christ self. The outer self was where the ego could hold sway, but the Christ self was timeless wisdom. In another carol, "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear," the angels sing, "Peace on earth, goodwill to men," in the first verse. The third verse addresses those beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow, and says to rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. The fourth verse echoes Revelation chapter 21. "For lo, the days are hastening on by prophets seen of old, when with the ever-circling years shall come the time foretold, when the new heaven and earth shall own the Prince of Peace their king, and the whole world send back the song which now the angels sing." In short, peace on earth. But how do we achieve this elusive quality called peace? One way is using mental kung fu. The first step is, those who know me know that I'm into Qigong. Anyway, the first step is awareness or recognition. Be aware of your feelings, then refute them. You can choose something else. And step 3, release or let go of this less than harmonious feeling. Often underlying such feelings is a spirit of competition or comparison. There will always be someone smarter, richer, prettier, skinnier, more handsome, more successful at work, more creative, or someone with a newer or bigger house or car. The list is endless. Comparing ourselves to others is a guarantee of loss of inner peace. The next step is to remember who you really are, a unique expression of God and therefore divine. Now you can replace and rewrite the story you've been telling yourself. Finally, you can radiate to others the real, unique you. When we stop allowing ourselves to be offended, we can rest in inner peace. There will be things and people that trigger you. I can guarantee that. But that is just an opportunity to practice forgiveness, which again leads to inner peace. If we want to have more peace in our communities and the world, we need to be peace ourselves. Our prayers, chants, mantras, affirmations, etc. need to be about peace. That is our contribution to peace on earth. One of the best ways to reach for that inner peace is through meditation. This is a time when we can feel Emmanuel, or God, with us. That is when we can feel one with God, as Charles Fillmore says. So let's take some time to be still now. But before you close your eyes and we go into meditation, take a moment to connect with your body. Put your hand on your forehead where your third eye is, and then bring it down and rest your hand over your heart, making the journey from head to heart. If your mind tends to have thoughts flitting through when you try to meditate, give your mind a job. With your eyes open, focus on a ring you hold, or on your thumb as you hold your hand up, or on a flower, a candle flame, or other object. Give your mind something to do. Now, if you prefer, as we go into meditation, close your outer eyes and take a deep, relaxing breath, centering breath. And take another deep breath, relaxing your body from head, down your torso, down your legs, down to your feet. As we go about our many daily tasks this season of Advent, be mindful of when you might feel rushed, irritated, frustrated, lonely, or any other less than joyous emotion. And declare, to keep your peace during Advent, smile from the heart at strangers. Bless others as you pass them. Do something helpful for someone around you. Do something for someone in need, whether that is donating something, buying lunch for someone, visiting someone homebound, or any other act of service. Let us accept what Jesus offered at the end of his life. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 14:27. Embrace this peace for a moment in the silence. And then gently come back to your body. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And now let us pray as taught by our way-shower Jesus.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.